Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. We are very close to the weekend, and the athletic testing has begun here at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis for the 2025 version of the Underwear Olympics, which have begun. They are out there on the field, running, jumping, running around in a circle at this moment. It all begins today as far as guys actually being on the field, going through the drills. It's very exciting stuff. People are jumping real high. It's essentially the filling out of a spreadsheet for personnel groups all across the league, and people love to watch it live. I am not one of those people, as you guys know, if you've been on this channel for any length of time, but I am excited to see some of these guys fill out their athletic profiles and see which ones fall into Packer type and not Packer type buckets, because that's essentially what this is about, figuring out who may catch the eye of the Green Bay Packers or solidify themselves as potential selections in April's draft for the green and gold. Won't belabor it too much. I'm going to open it up right to you guys for questions, comments, concerns, or just BS, because like I said, the whole operation of testing these guys is important, and I understand the reasoning, but to me, it doesn't hold much sway, as it were. And I will obviously look at the results and do some comparisons with guys historically and things of that nature. But for the most part, not a geek about the workouts. But some people are, and that's cool. And what's more cool than anything is talking to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do. Brett starting us off with a good question. Did somebody ask Goody about 235-pound edge rushers yesterday? Well, it wasn't yesterday. It was Tuesday morning. Would love to know what they're talking about at that size. I can't think of any legit ones in the league playing edge with any regularity. Well, I think Ojulari is like 240, isn't he, with the Giants? 230 is probably a little light, but the idea being some of the lighter edge rushers who a bit more specialized and do only play, say, 15, 20 snaps a game. Yeah, 230 is probably a little light in that regard, but I don't think it's, you know, the idea is solid enough as far as having guys who you do or would worry about if they had to work outside of that zone, as far as if injuries struck to your frontline guys and now your situational pass rushers have to be on the field, you know, 40, 50 snaps a game against 320 pounders at tackle, changes the thinking a little bit, most likely, especially when it comes to a roster construction area. Klaus, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Any combine crushes so far? Go Pack, go. A couple. Noel Williams from Cal spoke today. I'd already loved his tape. I loved his availability. He's a guy who I would absolutely love to see in green and gold. I am a bit nervous though, from everybody I've talked to here in Indy. You know, he'll run tomorrow. I believe the corners and defensive backs are running tomorrow afternoon, and I do worry that he'll be a bit slow and maybe take himself out of consideration for the Packers, but we will see. But I love his game. I love his tape. And like I said today, I just kind of fell deeper in love, as it were. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Cornerback, edge, most likely Packer free agent pickups. I think edge is probably most likely. I know there are plenty of guys on offer, so to speak, at corner, but so many of them, especially the frontline guys, are dealing with or coming off of some type of injury. I do think corner is an area where we will see them kind of attack in the draft. I would be very surprised if they get out of this draft without at least one corner, if not even two. But I definitely think edge is something they will be looking at in free agency. That doesn't guarantee they'll make a signing, but That is an area where I think they'll try to attack, no doubt. Simitovich, how are you, man? Were there any fights at Starbucks today? So rowdy. Man, I was talking about this on the radio this morning. You know, the combine used to be good for a good skirmish or two every year, and that had somewhat died down, but it's good to have it back in the mix. I mean, people forget, man, probably the best kind of encounters as far as media on media crime back in the day, Jay Glazer jumped over a table at Prime to attack. It was a Jets reporter whose name escapes me, but that was prime combine beef, man. You know, so it's good to see it back. Good to see reporters mixing it up once again. What do we got here? Oh, people chanting about RAS. Well, start getting those RAS scores pretty soon, no doubt about it. Puna. See, I understand this. The combine is so boring to watch. I don't understand the entertainment value. And that is completely 1,000,000,000% a legit take, opinion, what have you. But I do know, like, lots of, especially the draftniks, obviously the draft community, absolutely loves this stuff. They eat it up. And I get it. I understand why. They understand the correlation between this testing and what it means for these guys, not only their draft stock, but what it could mean as far as rising or falling on teams' boards, the potential to make a ton more money if they run well, if they test well. It is dramatic in that sense, in that regard. Like, Shamar Stewart just had a 40-inch vertical. You know, that's damn impressive for a man that size. And that should help solidify him, get into the top, maybe even the top half of the first round. So it's just, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. Again, like I said at the top, it's not my thing, but I get why people are into it. You know, the world, it takes all kinds, man. Different strokes for different folks, as the song once said. I love people talking about the fight. Stoney, thanks for the super chat, man. Game on the line. Cornerback needs to make a stop. Who you taking, Eric Stoats or Ahmad Carroll? Keep up the great work, Nags. Thank you, Stoney. God, that is a choice of evils right there. I don't know. Probably Stokes, just because if you go with Ahmad Carroll, he'll just grab and get a penalty, and they'll get a automatic first down, and don't need that in my life. Stokes will at least compete. He'll probably get beat, but at least he'll compete. So give me Stokes in that choice of evils. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. How did they judge talent in the 70s as compared to today? Oh, great question. Much more rudimentarily. No, I mean, scouting is a thing that has grown over the course of, you know, so many decades. I mean, you go back to what they were doing in the 50s into the 60s when Lombardi's teams got built. You know, Vannesi and the work he did even before Lombardi came into town. That's something that should be studied as far as like the roots of scouting in the NFL and kind of projecting, because that's the other component that really doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but it is where pro scouts really make their kind of money, their bones, so to speak, is the projection aspect of it. Because it's so easy to look at college tape and see two college guys, you know, one-on-one, who won that one-on-one, counting up those sacks or the tabulating the numbers. That's pretty simple. But where pro personnel people really make their money is the projection aspect of it. You know, how is that young kid who's turning into a man projects? How does he project to the NFL, to against NFL competition? And that is something that has been built over time, right? If you want to see kind of the beginning of the modern era of scouting, I cannot recommend Bill Belichick's father's book, Football Scouting Methods, that he put together when he was at Navy. It's not a page turner. It is pretty dry, but it gives you a great idea of how the modern scout began. That scouting, the whole community, really started, not with that specifically, but it's a really good window into the world of the scout and how far it's come, especially since those days. Menace, thanks for the super chat, man. Let's say Kelvin Banks, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon available at 23. Who would you take? Who do you think Goody takes? And would you trade back into the first round for another of those three? Stewart and Harmon would wreck. I love Derek Harmon, and he just ran very, very fast, sub 540 for a man that size. It's pretty exciting. But I do think he's probably a day two pick. Not saying it's impossible that he could jump into the bottom of the first round. I'd be very surprised if the Packers, of those three, didn't take Shamar Stewart, if he's there at 23, which the more he tests, the probably less likely that's going to be. And as far as trading back into the first round, I very, very, very much doubt it this season, this year, with heading into a draft where right now they have 8 picks. They'll probably get a 9th for their compensatory pick. They'll pick up for losing Yash Nyman last year. But even then, I can't imagine him spending capital to get back up into the first round. I'm not saying that's impossible, but I'd be very surprised if he went that route. Rob Kress, nothing like 2000s Favre to driver highlights. Now, there you're talking. Now we're cooking. I like that. Ryan Willie, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Is the draft deep at edge and nose tackle, possibly draft Clark's replacement? It's got very good talent at edge, but it is incredibly deep. I don't think I would say particularly at nose tackle, but definitely a defensive tackle. It is 1,000,000% a draft where I suspect they're probably going to double up. And I do think a defensive tackle type will be in play at 23, but it's going to be in play essentially throughout the entirety of this draft. I mean, anyone you talk to here this week, and whether they work in the media side or on the team side, it is all, I mean, this is the most depth that a lot of people have seen at that position in a very long time. And I was talking to Trad Reuter this morning, who works NFL media, about, you know, just the sheer number of guys that are here this year at the position is, you know, usually it's around hovering around 20 at that spot. This year, there's like 39 guys. And now some of that is, you know, older players who have gone back a couple times after COVID. The NIL stuff has kept guys around. So there's a couple, you know, extra day three guy types who I believe will be on the Packers radar. But it just a sheer volume. There are a ton of options at defensive tackle. And I do think, to your point, Ryan, I 100%, and I used to talk about this all the time. When Ted was in charge, you could set your watch by this. Is look at the breakdown of the roster as far as the contracts go. Take a look at next season, find out who's coming up, and that's undoubtedly you're going to get at least one draft pick the year before at that position. That is how Ted always operated. And with Kenny, they can get out of that deal after this season. I suspect they will, and there is little doubt in my mind they will be looking for maybe not necessarily an heir apparent, but someone at that position who can come in and kind of step into some of those roles starting next season. That's why I think, like, even if they don't address it early, they will address it. There will be, I would suspect, at least one, if not two, defensive tackles in this class that they take. And I know, I can already hear people, and I'm going to preempt this because I've already said, well, they're going to take corners and they're going to take defensive tackles. Yes, it's going to be a defensive heavy draft. And I know no one wants to hear that. Everybody wants their toys on offense. But I suspect this will be another defensive heavy draft class. That doesn't mean they won't take a wide receiver. In fact, I think they will probably in the second round. But yeah, get ready for defense because I think it's coming. Brett, what a question. How long did it take your girlfriend to realize just how serious and invested you were in Packers football? That's a good question. I think on probably our second date when we had set a meeting at a bar on the Upper West Side, and I showed up and there was a guy who was sitting there at the bar who I didn't know, and I had just been waiting for her, and he recognized me. He followed me on Twitter, just a random person in life. And then, you know, she was joking like, oh, you probably paid that guy to be there. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But then when we were down in New Orleans for the first time together, where she's from, we were there for one of her family members' weddings, and we were walking out of the quarter, a completely random street, not a busy intersection at all, and all of a sudden someone yelled, Nagler! And I was like, hey, how are you? And I watch you all the time, blah, blah, blah. And we had a huge nerd-off type Packers conversation real quickly there on the corner. And then as we were walking away, I think that's when it really hit her. She was like, oh, he just lives and breathes this stuff. And some poor lost souls like yourselves listen to him every day. It's kind of crazy. Stoney, thanks again. Serious note, how do we get back to our cornerback being physical like they were in the divisional game versus Seattle? Rewatching that game, the announcers talked about our cornerback physicality, and it showed. Yeah, well, you got to remember, though, I mean, with the scheme that they're running now, it's not as predicated on getting up and getting physical with those receivers at the line of scrimmage. Now, there are certainly moments that call for it. But for the most part, this is a scheme that you're going to see guys with eyes on the quarterback playing lots of different types of zone, a lot of cover three, et cetera. I love that idea, and I'm all for it as far as, you know, the types of corners that they've traditionally liked in Green Bay. They do like those big hulking guys with long-ass arms that can control receivers at the line of scrimmage. But again, with this scheme, maybe it's not the premium it always has been, although Brian did kind of mention being open to like finding those types again, because right now, what have you got? Keyshawn probably playing on the one side and Carrington Valentine on the other, Bullard in the slot. Like, you need to add some some, not just straight up depth, but yeah, probably some size there as well. No question about it. Big Al. That's an interesting question. Hey, Nags, when it comes to the draft, does personality matter, like leadership and coaching ability? Well, I don't know about coaching, Al, because, you know, these are players that they're drafting, but personality is a big component of what this week is about. You know, it's not necessarily something that's going to, you know, seal the deal, so to speak, right? You're not going to say, oh, I love talking to this kid, I'm definitely going to draft him. But it certainly colors the relationship the personnel person has to the player. And it is all part of the information. And they certainly take it into account. You know, there's no doubt about it. If you are in some of these interview settings, and they're very, you know, some, there's different types too. Some of these kids get on Zoom with some coaches back in Green Bay. Some kids get a coach or a personnel guy here in Indianapolis. And it is about, like, yeah, what's your knowledge of football? But it's also, who are you? What type of person are you? Can I see living with you for the next 4 years during your rookie deal? You know? Yeah. So it's not, like I said, it's not never going to be something that tips the scale completely, but it is a component, and it is a one of the things they look at, no doubt about it. Brandon, thanks for the super chat, man. Really just hit last night, the year after year losses of 17, then 12, then 33, then 23, then likely 97, end of some great eras. I mean, it is the final kind of page turn, right? When they probably, like I said, get out from under Kenny's contract next year, that will be the closing of the door on the official closing of the door on the Aaron Rodgers and Ted Thompson era. You know, I mean, Jair, obviously, Brian's first pick, and he is now leaving. But Jair did play with Aaron, you know, won a lot of games with Aaron. And Kenny obviously has been through, what, like three regimes at this point. Yeah, it's the kind of ceaseless, endless march of time, finally kind of taking them past whatever had been, you know, in that Rodgers era. Brett, can you imagine how much worse the passing game would have looked this year if the Packers allowed video during training camp practices? Man, I keep fighting the good fight, but I don't think it's ever going to change. It is frustrating as hell. You know, I made the joke there, you know, that I think it was week two against Atlanta last year in 2023 when Jaden Reed had an end around that went into the end zone. And I was like, I can't believe Atlanta didn't sniff that out because of Big B's training camp video from day two of pads. Yeah, but the whole thing is driven by football, the football side. It ain't marketing driving that. It is not some, you know, suit pencil pusher. It's none of that in Green Bay. It is football. It is Brian Gutekunst on down. Coach Matt LaFleur, Brian, they are the ones driving that. So I can, you know, be upset about it, and it is super annoying, but it's their program. They can run it however they want. Menace, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. What's one previous Green Bay pick you said to yourself, this dude's going to be a stud, and we're completely wrong about? Mine was Alex Green. Woof, was I wrong. Man, that's a good question. I liked Alex Green, but I hear what you're saying. Man, Robert Ferguson, probably. I thought Robert Ferguson was going to be like the second coming of Sterling Sharp. That certainly did not occur. Let's just say that. Good Lord. J-Rock, good question. Is RAS relative to this year's... Oh, wait, yeah, I just lost your thing. Is RAS relative to this year's group of players at a position, or is it compared to players from previous years also? Well, you can compare scores at positional, you know, different positions, like historically, if you want to. But the number, the 0 through 10, is simply a product of the athletic testing. It's not comparison to previous, you know, years or guys who played whatever position, etc. It is, you know, just an individualistic athletic kind of marker that you can, and you, like I said, you can compare if you so choose. Most hated Minnesotan, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat, man. Have Banky and Bukowski ever met? I don't think so. I do not think so. Yeah, no, they've sparred on Twitter, that's for sure. But yeah, no, I don't think they've ever met in person. Oh, Brett, I like your thinking. Shamar Stewart and Josh Sweat, please. I like the potential there. And that's certainly realistic. Like, that's something that would, that, you know, if the signing Sweat and then drafting Stewart would not surprise me. Now, I don't think it's likely, but if they went that route, you know, I'd be all in on it. And B, well, yeah, that wouldn't shock me. But it's the kind of thing they have to do this year to improve that pass rush. I mean, I think everything you want to talk about this offseason when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, it's all about the guys up front. It's all about improving there. It's all about being able to win with four in a way they absolutely could not last year. You know, that is going to be the main project for Brian and company. Of that, there is zero doubt. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Oh, Menace has a quick correction. Josh Jones still makes me angry. I just remember Josh Jones lighting people up in shorts and getting in trouble for it. And then, like, early in camp and preseason, he was so physical, and we thought, we finally got a safety who likes to hit. And then things got real, and then we realized he had no idea how to take angles and tackle in space, and that was a fun kind of moment in time. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.